Welcome back to the Tony D Podcast, powered by Flooring is Forever and FlooringIsForever.com. We have so much to get into. I have a menu of items to discuss coming off of the, it's like a half day of a test at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Wednesday before rains took over. We're going to break down the speeds. We're going to break down what we saw. The solar eclipse happened on Monday. I was at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for that. We're going to discuss that. IndyCar not changing a rule that I think a lot of fans would want to be changed. Just so much to get into. We're going to hear from Alex Palou. We're going to hear from Kyle Larson. We're going to hear from Marcus Ericsson. If you missed my question to Graham Rahal in the end of the day press conference on Wednesday, check it out on Twitter at Tony D Indy. Discussing what he feels a little bit different than what he did last year. And at this time last year, he kind of started to know after that test that they were going to be in trouble. Obviously, Graham missed the race, eventually was in due to Steph Wilson's accident. But so much to get into. FlooringIsForever.com, 317-755-1246 for all of your flooring needs. Harley has you covered with over 20 years of local experience here in Indianapolis. Check out his five-star reviews on Google. Flooring is Forever, FlooringIsForever.com. What usually takes place, like the first thing on the test for the Indianapolis 500 is they put the BorgWarner Trophy in Pagoda Plaza, and they bring all of the former winners in for a photo. This year, Joseph Newgarden was added to that photo, while unfortunately Simon Pagenaud was not in that photo. We haven't really heard much about Simon lately. We wish him the best, one of the best winners, one of the best overall guys that has ever won the Indianapolis 500. I've always been a big fan of Simon's. So that was cool. If you missed that, I have a photo up on my Twitter as well and a video. That's super cool. It's kind of like, all right, you know, I kind of start thinking to myself, like, who's going to be here next year? Is it going to be the same group of eight? Is it going to be a second or a third or a fifth time winner of the Indianapolis 500, or are we going to add a new name, which is very possible, like we did the last 2 years, with Marcus Ericsson in 2022 and Joseph Newgarden last year in 2023. Oh, by the way, speaking of BorgWarner, if Joseph wins, and I don't know the exact amount, Steve Shunk will have to text me if he listens to my podcast, hope he does, with BorgWarner. I think it's a $440,000 check for going back-to-back. Joseph Newgarden would be the first back-to-back champion, obviously, since Elio Castroneves in 2001 and 2002. On Tuesday, they announced Connor Daly's ride. I got to go out there and see the polka dot pink Dryon Reinbold Q6 Chevrolet. Looks great. A lot of pink cars in the field this year. You obviously have the Meyer Shank cars. Two of the three are pink. Have pink in them. Kyle Kirkwood. It's funny, Kyle Kirkwood walked over. I was like, oh, look, another pink car. And then we saw Catherine Lay kind of roll out. So, good luck to the spotters up there in turn one and turn three. That's always going to be pretty interesting when we get to race day and how much spotter tape is on some of these drivers' roll hoops and aero screens and mirrors. So, went to the solar eclipse on Monday, and what an event it was from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. My aunt came in from Colorado. My mom and my sister came down from Northwest Indiana. You know, and I'll be honest, I really thought there was a lot of hype going into it. I was like, you know, I could only be disappointed, right? But, man, it was cool. It was super cool. The Indianapolis Motor Speedway was packed. They had drivers, astronauts, photo opportunities. There wasn't any yellow shirts. There really wasn't any police. So it was kind of, at times, a free-for-all. Would have liked to probably maybe see some more interaction with the drivers and maybe giving out some tickets, but I think that they tried in certain ways, but man, it was awesome to see it from the track, you know, Pagoda in my sight line, you know, not really pitch black, but it was very dark. It felt like it was the end of the Rev event. If you've ever been to the Rev event where they let you dance on the bricks towards the end of the night, that's really what it felt like. And it was phenomenal, man. It was a good moneymaker for the track. You know, I think there was a lot of people. I talked to Michael Kaltenmark of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway marketing team. And I said, man, I think my guess would be like 80% of the people had never been there before. And he said, based on our records, it was 84%. So you hope you do those events. It was cool to see Ed Carpenter go around. My sister's 20. My half-sister is 20. She's never been to the race. She was super excited about it and wants to come back down and see more cars on track. And I said, well, come on down in May. We'll get you taken care of. And it was cool. It was cool to see Ed go around, Ed Carpenter go around, did a few laps, you know, exhibition laps, whatever you want to call them, just so people that weren't there could get a, you know, I always say this about IndyCar. It's a census sport. You can feel it. You can hear it. You can smell it. And obviously you can see it. And then just the pure sound of the IndyCar going down the front straightaway and the echo in the grandstands is something that you really have to experience up close. And, you know, you go to some of these street, that's why street courses are so great, because you could literally be on a road that you're probably going to drive to work on in 2 days and watch this IndyCar blister around the track at 150 plus miles an hour. And you really get a sense of the speed and the feel. So that was awesome. I thought the event was overall pretty good. I'm glad that they did it. And I hope that that brings more fans back to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, not just for the 500 in qualifying, but also the Indy Grand Prix as well. Something I put on Twitter earlier as well that I wanted to mention is we talk about marketing and growing IndyCar, and I thought the Parkside sports cards have gone really well. You know, getting new, you know, they're trying to do this influencer route where they're bringing in local influencers and such, and okay, that's great, that's all good. But I think one small tweak that could be made, and it seems like people agree on this, one small tweak that could be made, I feel, is in every Grand Prix, call it the IndyCar Grand Prix, the Firestone IndyCar Grand Prix of St. Pete, the Acura IndyCar Grand Prix of Long Beach. You put that word IndyCar in there, and people who aren't familiar with the sport no longer have to ask, oh, is that Formula One? Is that NASCAR? What is that? It's IndyCar. It's in the title. You know, I kind of noticed this in St. Pete. I noticed it in Thermal when I went out to L.A., and I certainly noticed it in Detroit and Portland. People, oh, well, you know, whether it was an Uber driver or talking to somebody, you know, at a restaurant, oh, are you guys here for the Grand Prix? But if it's put in their brains immediately, that's the IndyCar Grand Prix, they're going to remember it's the IndyCar Grand Prix. So just a little tweak that I think could probably go a long way. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. Hey, shout out here locally in Indianapolis to my friends at Tapper, my good buddy Austin. They celebrated their 8th anniversary on Thursday night, so it was fun to be a part of that. Him and his girlfriend, who I found out is my cousin, that's another story. His girlfriend is my cousin. Her and I grew up in the same hometown. We've been friends for years. Went to high school together. I set them up. Found out because my mom was down. So found out that, hey, we are in some form long, long time ago related. But shout out to Tappers down in Fountain Square. If you're coming into Indy or you live in Indy and you're looking for something fun to do and to be entertained for relatively pretty cheap, he's got awesome drinks, awesome beers. Awesome drinks, whether it's alcoholic or non-alcoholic, and then all the arcade games besides pinball are free. So it's a hell of a time, but congratulations to Tappers, one of the best arcade bars around, and they have NBA Jam. That's how you know it's one of the best. And they also have NFL Blitz, and you can hop on the N64 if you're a huge IndyCar fan and play IndyCar 2000. You can hop on the Super Nintendo and play Michael Andretti's Challenge. So get down there in Fountain Square and check it out. Before we move on and get into what I was told about the ending of the Indianapolis 500, and we'll get Marcus Ericsson's thoughts on that after he was leading last year when the final red flag came out. I thought Marcus Ericsson won the race in turn three. Obviously, Joseph Newgarden was your winner. We'll get to that. But I have joined a community that I hope that you will sign up for. I hope that you will support. It is $4.99 a month. You'll get behind-the-scenes access when it comes to IndyCar, the Indianapolis 500, straight from me. It's part of Subtext. You can find the link on my Twitter and on my Facebook. If you want behind-the-scenes videos, action, the latest news, I will go to Subtext first before I go to Twitter. There'll be a lot of cool promotions on there. We'll have some discounts. We'll have some opportunities to win prizes and tickets. We'll have some IndyCar fantasy and betting advice on there as well. If you would like to subscribe, we would love to have you. $4.99 a month. I will do everything. We'll have giveaways. I will do everything in my power to make sure that $4.99 a month is worth it for you. Would certainly appreciate that. All right. So I happened to speak to somebody who I know would know. And I said, hey, are there any rule changes coming for the Indianapolis 500? And they responded with, well, what exactly do you mean? And I said, well, you know, is there going to be a dead set lap where that red flag comes out? Or you end under yellow? Like, let's say lap 197. If there's a yellow before lap 197, you can red flag it. But after that, you can't. And this person told me that they are going to do everything in their power to ensure that there is a green flag finish at the Indianapolis 500. And I know all the traditionalists are jumping off the bandwagon and spilling their PBR. I get it. But look, this is a sport that is one of the most fan-friendly sports in the world. And to ensure that one of their races, their biggest race, by the way, their biggest race, ends dramatically, ends under green, I am okay with. And I know what I know, trust me, I'm a realist, and I see both sides of it. I know a lot of people get online, and they can't see anybody else's side of the argument and think that their opinion is the right way. I get it from IndyCar standpoint, wanting to do this. I really do. I get it. I do. And I get the sentiments of the folks that are saying that's manufacturing a finish kind of like they did last year. Trust me, I thought Marcus Ericsson should have won that race. I wasn't upset that Joseph Newgarden won. Joseph Newgarden won under the rules that they had set. And I even got in trouble a little bit for saying that seemed like a pretty CW scripted ending to have Team Penske's All-American boy moved up a spot on that last restart. And then obviously he wins because on the last lap, and really any lap, and I'm going to ask some drivers and some competition people in IndyCar this question as well. You know, how do we make passing again in turn 3 and turn 4? There hasn't been a lot of passes up towards the front of the field in turns 3 and turn 4, or even going into turn 3. Obviously, we saw what happened to Pottle Award last year with 8 laps to go. But they're going to ensure that there's a green flag finish, and I know there's a lot of people say, well, my goodness, after they put a tire into the parking lot from Kyle Kirkwood's wreck, for them to go out under one lap, not even warm up your tires and go green. And honestly, IndyCar is lucky that Marcus Ericsson is a stand-up professional driver and a gentleman driver. If that was a lot of other people in the field leading, coming to the green-white off of turn 4, there's a lot of drivers that, trust me, would have stacked up the field, would have jumped the restart and took off, maybe would have had their teammate bounce off the wall. You never know what can happen in that scenario to win the biggest race of the year. They're lucky that Marcus Ericsson has said multiple times that he wants to win fair and square, and he wouldn't do anything different. And we're going to hear from Marcus here shortly on his thoughts on the end of the race last year and what he would have done differently and his thoughts on it probably staying the same this year. So they're lucky that Marcus was a gentleman driver. And look, I'm not taking anything against Joseph. Marcus and I have a great relationship. Joseph and I have had a lot of fun together talking back and forth over the last year about his Indianapolis 500 win. You know, I was at his ticket unveil. I was at his banner unveil and got to talk to him. You've heard that here on the Tony D podcast. If you missed those conversations, would love for you to go back and check them out. But, you know, there is a huge element of danger that is added when you do what you did last year. And honestly, this is going to be a very unpopular opinion, but I'm okay with that. I know the cars are as safe as they've ever been, and we've seen spectacular crashes like Colton and David Malukas on Carb Day a few years ago. Obviously, Kyle Kirkwood last year, and these drivers have walked away with this aero screen and the protection. And the difference that I've always said, and I know that some people don't want to hear it, and trust me, there is nobody, I mean, there's like the teams, obviously the drivers' wives, but like even somebody like me who knows there's an element of danger and you get close to these drivers and something could happen. But adding an element of danger, I am not opposed to. That is what separates these Indianapolis 500 and IndyCar drivers from the average Joe Schmo like me who can't strap myself into a fighter jet and go around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway at 2:30. There is an element of danger, and there always has been. And it is a lot safer now than it's ever been. That's why I hope to push track records here ASAP. We may see it next month at the 500. We will maybe probably see it definitely for sure next year. I don't mind pushing the envelope when you have the safest car that you've ever had. So adding that element of suspense and danger towards the end of the 500 to ensure a green flag, I am not totally against. And I know that's not going to be the most popular opinion, but that's just where I stand on it. Here is last year's runner-up and the 2022 Indianapolis 500 winner, who was leading at the green-white checker, or the green, yeah, it was green-white checker last year. It was just green and white at the same time. Who was leading on that final restart, Marcus Ericsson.
All that, I understand that's how we want to do it, but then I think it's important we have a consistency there. So I expect it to always be a restart there in the end. So that's the only thing for me, you know, it's fine if we keep doing that. I'm really surprised. We kind of changed that last year without anyone knowing we were changing that. But if that's the way we want to do it now, we should be, you know, should be the same from now on.
So you wanted to stay the same, no moving the goalposts. Doesn't matter what it is, as long as it stays the same. That's consistent.
I don't know. I think last year was a bit new for everyone, you know, the way they decided to end the race. And I think that was, you know, they changed a lot what we've done in the past. So I haven't heard, you know, anything different now. It's, you know, they want to finish on the green.
It's a year later. Is there anything with that last restart you feel like you should have done different?
No, I think I did everything right. You know, some people said, you know, I should have just gone flat out from the pits, but I don't know. I want to win fair, you know, and like, I don't think that would have been working. So I think I did everything I could, to be honest, yeah.
Let's shift.
Again, Marcus Ericsson there, last year's runner-up and the Indianapolis 500 winner from 2022. And again, you know, a gentleman racer and somebody who, you know, did it the right way last year and ended up ultimately costing him the Indianapolis 500. And like he mentioned, he could have went flat out of the pits. He probably could have stacked up the restart. He could have – there were things that he could have done. And I think that other drivers would have in that situation, giving, you know, the fact that you are going for the biggest prize in motorsports and it's right there in front of you one lap away. We haven't even mentioned Kyle Larson yet. Second fastest, got a nice tow, 226.384. Larson ran 43 total laps on the afternoon. I asked him an awesome question. Well, it was an okay question, but it was an awesome answer from Kyle Larson. That video is available on my Twitter and Facebook if you want to check it out, at Tony D&D, Tony Donahue on Facebook as well. But I asked him just how that first stint of the morning went, and he was greeted mid-answer by last year's Indianapolis 500 winner, Joseph Newgarden, who happened to go fastest on the day at 228.811.
Honestly, the first time in traffic, I think my tires were fresh, so like it didn't feel, there wasn't much like of a balance difference between clean air to dirty air, but then the second time, like Newgarden passed me, before he got to me, and then he passed me, and I tried to like build a run back to him, and I got super tight. So I don't know like if that is like that magnitude is real or not either. So still, you know, a lot of stuff the packs are so small, the runs, like the amount you run on a tire is still short. So like, I think as you probably get in the month of May when there's more rubber on the track and all that.
Good seeing you here.
Yeah, I see.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, thanks. And I just think there's still way more to learn.
Do you feel rushed at all? I mean, this is, we might get rained out tomorrow, obviously. You have a more intense schedule in the month of May. Do you feel rushed at all? And how do you maximize the time that you have here? I mean, it's Indiana weather. You know that. It changes all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know. It doesn't feel rushed, maybe because I'm used to, like, NASCAR. We get 20 minutes of practice, and that is, like, very rushed. Or even when we have the practice sessions, say we get 55 minutes and three sets of tires, like that is a rush. So this so far this morning hasn't felt crazy, but we have made more runs than I guess I anticipated us doing. So, but I don't feel rushed, but it just, I was happy that we got to actually run as much as we did right there.
Again, Kyle Larson there, he was greeted there by the winner last year, Joseph Newgarden. Joseph saying, hey, it was good to see you out there. So I liked what I heard out of Larson. Like, I got a lot to learn. There's still a lot for me to learn. And it was a small sample size before the rains came on Wednesday. I'm glad Kyle Larson is here. I've known Kyle for probably 12 years, just kind of through media. And then we've hung out a few times outside, you know, in downtown Indy. And I've always liked Kyle. I've always been a big fan of Kyle. It's huge that he's here. There is huge interest in the fact that it's a NASCAR driver, the best NASCAR driver, I would say, coming over here to run the Indianapolis 500, to run the double again, the first time that a driver has ran the double in the Indianapolis 500 since Kurt Busch did it about 10 years ago. Just look at some of my Twitter numbers and the videos that I posted about Kyle. I posted a 5-second video of him coming out of Gasoline Alley on his scooter, and it got like 25,000 views. So the Kyle Larson effect is big. He is going to be great for the Indianapolis 500 and the hype building up to it. So appreciate him spending some time with me yesterday. And then again in the press conference, I asked him after he was out there running around in traffic what surprised him, what came a little bit more natural than what he expected. So if you want to check out that video, it is up on my Twitter account at Tony D Indy and on Facebook. Scott Dixon, Alex Palou, and Scott McLaughlin rounded out your top five fastest in that practice. Got a chance to talk to Alex Palou, who was on my flight to St. Pete with his family. And, you know, he's been snake bit, I think you could say, over the last couple of years, starting on the front row, having probably the best car, and to probably all three of the last three Indianapolis 500s, probably had the best race car, the best month. Obviously, last year almost swept the month by winning the Grand Prix, the Indy Grand Prix, an IndyCar Grand Prix. If I'm going to say that they need to do that, I got to get in the habit of saying it. Then winning the pole for the 500, and then getting hit by Rinus VK in the pits, stormed all the way back for a top 10 finish. But I asked Alex Palou, you know, obviously there's been some stuff with McLaren over the last two 500s. Is he a little bit more calm coming in to this year's Indianapolis 500? Here is your champion for the series last year, Alex Palou.
Your personal life's changed. You're a father now. Things have changed. A lot of noise has been settled. Do you feel more calm, more settled in coming into this month of May than maybe you have?
Yeah, I would say, probably last year was not very settled. But probably was the time that everything started getting fire again. But obviously, I would say that even last year, it was a second fire, so it didn't feel that big. I feel that I'm on a happy place since last year, I would say around May or a little bit later. Everything is good, life is good. Having a kid made me think about the really important stuff, which is family and racing, that's it. Everything else, it's just noise around. So yeah, life is amazing so far.
How fast are we changing diapers? Is it a pit stop for you? Are you kind of seeing what you guys
struggle now.
You trying to get under 8 seconds?
I struggle now because she starts to move a little more and she has more activity. So things go crazy sometimes. But it's good. It's super fun. Every day changes.
Sleeping okay?
So far.
Knock on wood, right?
Yes.
Chip Ganassi Racing there. He is the odds-on favorite at plus 550 to win the Indianapolis 500. Kyle Larson moved from 18-1 up to like 9-1 with his second fastest time in the test on Wednesday. I'd probably wait on that number to drop a little bit after qualifying. We shall see. Some other news and notes. Colm Ilott is in for David Malukas at this test. Obviously only got in a small amount of time. He only ran 7 laps in that 6-aero McLaren Chevy. Looks like he is going to run Barber, but will be out at Long Beach. And we'll see if he's in for the 500. You know, McLaren's got a couple things up their sleeves that, Tony Kanaan's going to be on standby if Kyle Larson has to leave to go to the Coke 600. Larson said in the post-race press conference, look, that race, that's my full-time job, and that race pays $1 million out in Charlotte. I have to get there. So if there's any kind of rain delay or, Robbie Gordon, Jacques Lazier type of scenario back in 2004, Kanaan will be on standby. David Malukas, it is in his contract that if he misses 2 points races, McLaren can, I guess, for lack of a better term, send him packing. Could he move over somewhere else? Maybe McLaren keeps him. That's way ahead. That's cart in front of the horse. Let's hope for David Malukas that his injury is healed up and he'll be back for the Indianapolis 500. And we'll see him finally in that papaya orange for Arrow McLaren. But here is Colm Ilott on, hey, is this kind of an audition for you? Not just for Arrow McLaren, but there's a new team in Prima that we talked about on Twitter. They had a press conference at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. They are going to bring a two full-time entries to the IndyCar Series next year. Ilott has ran for them in the past in some of the F1 support series. Sebastian Montoya, the son of Juan Pablo Montoya, is a driver that has ran for him or ran for that team in the past. So I asked Colin Ilott, like, you know, hey, is this an audition for you for other teams moving forward?
Do you feel like this is some sort of audition for you, some prove it to me, prove it to another teams, or are you just doing what you're told to do?
I mean, every time you're on track is an audition, in my opinion. But no, I don't treat these as auditions. I'm here to do a job. And I think you're told to do, you're expected to do. Of course, if you do a good job, that's great. If you do a bad job, well, unlucky. But no, I don't look at it like that. I mean, did the last 2 years, people get a feel for you, and see how it goes.
Cool. How are you going to see you?
All right, Colin Ilott there, who only got 7 laps of testing on Wednesday for Arrow McLaren. Again, he will run, I believe, Barber, but Long Beach is not going to be him in that race car. He has other racing things that he has already committed to, other racing commitments. So we'll see who is in that car. Hopefully David Malukas gets healthy and he can be back for the Indy GP and the Indianapolis 500 in that papaya orange for Arrow McLaren. Danny Bridges, my buddy, and I went over to Charlie Brown's during the rain delay for lunch. On Tuesday, we saw Super Tech's AJ Foyt look good, was enjoying some French toast. So got to see AJ. And excited to see what his cars can do. Obviously, last year, Santino Ferrucci finishing third. Benjamin Peterson became the fastest rookie qualifier in the history of the Indianapolis 500. Ferrucci is back. He's never finished outside of the top 10 at the Indianapolis 500. And then Sting Prey Rob is in the car this year. He's got a chance to prove that he can get up to speed and be competitive in the NTT IndyCar Series. Don't forget, on Sunday at the Indy Kart Exchange, I'm not sure exactly what time. You can check it out on their Twitter page or their Facebook and Instagram pages as well. They are having an IndyCar get-together with Parkside. They will have some drivers there. I believe Connor Daly, Jack Harvey will be there. They will have hanger packs that you can buy. They will have cases that you will buy. As I mentioned in the podcast a few weeks ago, I bought a case and 5 hanger packs. Didn't get any autographs in the hanger packs, but did get a 9 of 10 Alexander Rossi autograph, a Pato O'Ward autograph, and a Jack Harvey autograph at the Eclipse on Monday. There's so many kids there, so I was glad. I looked at the autograph session list, handed out some of the base cards to some kids to get autographs. So hopefully they enjoyed that, and they will get into not only IndyCar, but also the card hobby that was so prominent in my life growing up. Still kind of is, but especially as a kid, just having cards was just my favorite thing to have and to check out and to go through all the binders. So Kyle Cupperson, he pulled a Colton Herta autograph in the parking lot of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway the other day, so that was cool. That was the first time I've seen an autograph come out of a hanger box, so they are in there. So be sure to check them out. Hey, I did run into J.R. Hildebrand. I did run into J.R. Hildebrand, and I said, hey, man, good to see you. He has, like, Kyle Petty's 1998 Hot Wheels Pontiac, which is, like, one of my favorite cup cars of all time, and I have a shirt. I was like, I got the shirt you got to have. Like, I bought it. It's an old-school retro shirt, but you can have it. It'd be awesome for you to ride around. And he goes, well, I got my physical done. And I said, oh. And he goes, yeah, I was close to running the test. So, of course, I sent out a tweet saying, good to see you. And he said, it's good to be – he quote retweeted, it's good to be seen. Glad I got that physical out of the way. So, hey, you never know. We still have to confirm a few drivers. It looks like, obviously, we learned that Catherine Legg and Nolan Siegel will round out the Dale Coyne Racing effort for the Indianapolis 500. And it looks like the Able Motorsports car will be in the 500. Now, is that going to be RC Enerson? Are they going to put Jacob Able in there? Obviously, his dad owns the team, Jacob Able, Indy Next Series driver. They finally get back on track at Barber here in a couple weeks. They haven't been on track since St. Pete. But we shall see. That is still to come. Does J.R. Hildebrand get thrown in somewhere? You know, we shall see. Steph Wilson, I think he's fully healed. Don't quote me on that. Unfortunately, he won't be back with Cusick Motorsports, but I am excited to see Connor Daly with Ryan Hunter-Reay at Dryden Ryan Bowl in Cusick. That should be a good effort, both guys who have been up front. I mean, Ryan was pretty close to, you know, kind of stealing the show last year. He was running up there and didn't have to do one less pit stop than everybody else. I mentioned Graham Rahal earlier today. Him and I had a nice conversation off the record. That's what we usually do. But then I asked him in the post-race press or the post-practice presser, like, hey, what feels different? And he went into how the car accelerates a lot better, and he's much more confident of obviously making the show next month and being competitive in that 15 Rahal Letterman Lanigan Racing Honda with United Rentals on board. And then obviously you add Takuma Sato, who I talked to about being back, and being back with Rahal, a team that he's won with, and being back with an engineer that he's won the Indianapolis 500 with. So I think we'll see a rejuvenated effort by the Rahal Letterman Lanigan Racing Stable with their four cars. Pietro Fittipaldi running his second Indianapolis 500. He should be fine. He was fast in that 51 Dale Coyne car a few years back. So I expect Rahal to be solidly in the field, all four cars. And Graham told me just how much importance of Takuma Sato and his experience being there is as well. Hey, our friends at the shop, they have some awesome Indianapolis 500 merch. One of their years for this year is 1994, which was 30 years ago, which was my first ever Indianapolis 500. They've got some awesome AJ Foyt and Mario Andretti gear. Be sure to check them out at theshopindy.com. The shop on Twitter. They unveil new shirts every week, new hats. They have some cool things coming up. They just unveiled their Connor Daly merchandise, new kids shirts. So if you have kids that are looking to get an Indy car, come out to the racetrack. They just unveiled some new kids shirts. So be sure to check out our friends at the shop. Would love for you to subscribe to the Subtext, $4.99 a month. I promise it'll make it. I gotta really tell myself, like, hey, what's only going to be on Subtext? What am I going to put in the podcast? What am I going to put on Twitter? But I promise you, you know, and as always, a big thanks to Flooring Is Forever and FlooringIsForever.com. That's big. So looking forward to, you know, an exciting month of May. Two more races to get to the month of May. We've got Rev coming up. We'll have some exclusive interviews from the red carpet at Rev. And looking forward to the month of May. IndyCar, and hey, look, we got the Pacers going on. We haven't even talked about Purdue. I'm gonna have to do a separate one on Purdue and just the great run now a few days later that Purdue went on, and just what that means for not only West Lafayette but Purdue from a national standpoint. Indiana State, a lot of guys transferring out there, but what a run. And what new eyes and media that Indiana State got that they probably wouldn't have gotten if they would have, you know, got bounced in the first round NCAA tournament game. So a lot to get into. We'll do a couple more of these, but thank you so much for checking out the Totally Podcast. Subscribe on Subtext. Like and subscribe here where you get your podcasts. Please support the shop. Check out FlooringIsForever.com if you are in the market for new floors in your home or in your office. Harley will get you squared. Satisfaction guarantee. I've seen it. I've had multiple friends use Harley for their flooring needs, and I can't recommend him enough. Thank you so much for listening to the Tony D Podcast.